our service to perform our snow and ice control. And thirdly, the preventative maintenance programs that we have put into place have been beneficial in preserving the life of the assets that we are constructing utilizing our federal highway and aviation dollars. It's not always the best practice to have to go in and reconstruct once a pavement has failed, but you can do preventative measures up front during the life of that pavement, then you will have a cost savings overall to the state and to the federal program.
We have one more bill, but I think.
I apologize. I have one other question. Have you ever had any problem with force accounting? I mean, that's rather broad of saying any, but have you ever had any major problems with force accounting?
Senator Lincoln, through the chair, I am not aware of any significant problems with the recent. I've been with the department since 1998 in this capacity and have been responsible for approving all of the force account projects since I started with the department. And I'm not aware of any of those.
Well, number one, this is not about force account. I mean, we're talking instant of Bill 40. Let me ask you one question since we are into that. What's the, without Senate Bill 40, what's the limit that you could use with, that somebody had a finding that says this is in the best interest of the state? What's the limit?
Mr. Chairman, the requirement is for cost effectiveness of finding on the individual project, and there is no limit on the size of the project.
I appreciate that. And the purpose of this year's resolution was to try to help out rural Alaska in Senate Bill 40. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me ask you, gentlemen, be it resolved that the Alaska State Legislature respectfully requests the Governor consider directing DOT and other state agencies to use when handling construction and maintenance projects between approximately $250,000 and $1.5 million throughout the state, an approach under which a competitively selected contractor agrees to provide construction and maintenance services on an as-needed basis over a particular period of time to a specific geographical area on a 24-hour response basis. What does that do to force accounting?
To the chair, Senator Lincoln, it's difficult to answer that question. Number one, the be it resolved is not binding on the department. It requests the governor consider it. So it's difficult to know whether the administration would go forward with that request, assuming they did. Then projects that fall within that category for all state agencies, not just DOT, would be required to do it through this approach where the contractors are identified up front. And what it would do, it's difficult to say for certain, but our concern is since they are not hard dollar bids, they are not competitive, the lowest responsive responsible bidder, that there could be a increase in the cost overall to the state for those same groups of projects. That's the primary concern.
Would the force accounting continue as is under that resolve?
Through the chair, Senator Lincoln, the projects in excess of $1.5 million would continue under the normal force account process unless the law changes as a result of SB 40, in which case it would be restricted to $250,000. So we would be prohibited from doing any project in excess of $250,000 by force account.
Okay.
Chairman, I'd move Senate concurrent resolution number 25 with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Objection.
Can we call the vote?
Senator Cheerio?
Yes.
Senator
Lincoln?
No.
Senator Olson?
No.
Co-Chair Wagner?
Yes.
Co-Chair
Codrey? Yes. Just off the record for a little bit, I wish you would get the contracts and look. is, here we go. Brian's here. Huh?
That bill gave me a headache, a bad headache.
It's better than no bill. I mean, I'm trying to help you guys, you know?
I just gotta know how that, oops, we're on. I didn't realize we were on record.
I thought we were off the record, but that's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we, your time, Senator Seekins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Ralph Seekins from District D, which is in Fairbanks, the Nellie Borough. Basically, this bill, 391, is for a single purpose. I'm working with Senator Olson on a similar bill as an amendment to a bill that we had earlier in finance. I'm working with the Bureau of Land Management, trying to find out if we can avoid having to do this at the moment. But it would allow trappers to use snow machines within the 5-mile corridor of the Dalton Highway to access their trap lines. And currently, Alaska statutes banned, with limited exceptions, use of off-road vehicles within 5 miles of the right-of-way of that highway, starting at mile 57 and at the Yukon River crossing, extending 357 miles north to the Arctic Ocean. Fact is here, Mr. Chairman, that the state has not actively enforced this statutory ban. Nevertheless, this has not stopped the federal government from co-opting the state law. Using the Alaska statute that we cited, the Bureau of Land Management is closing long existing trap lines and threatening to tear down or have torn down cabins unless the trappers resort to non-motorized access. This bill is seeking to remedy that situation by allowing the limited use of snow machines within the corridor for the express purpose of establishing, maintaining, or servicing a trap line located outside the corridor. To the extent that trapping is a seasonal activity, each trap line needs to be reestablished on an annual basis. However, it's my intent here to provide a measure of relief to those trappers who have been operating in the area over for the last, I don't know how many years, many of them for a long, long time. Some of these trap lines are as much as 250, 275 miles long. The only feasible way that they have to be able to access them is a motorized snow machine in the wintertime. Meantime, in the interim, I'll be traveling up and down the highway with people from Alyeska, perhaps with people from other departments of the state, to take a look at just exactly to what extent there can be additional use later on of motorized vehicles along that corridor. Meantime, this is just an interim step specifically designed with no other intent than to allow those people who have already established trap lines to be able to continue to do so in the face of a federal threat to remove those, to close them down. I think that's fair. I think that's just. There's no harm that's been shown by those people operating there in the past. There's no good reason, in my opinion, for the federal government to shut them down at this particular time. This bill may not even be necessary, nor the other one that we've been working on with Senator Olson, if we get the right solicitor's opinion about the 1st of May. But we want to be prepared to be able to provide some relief from state law for these people, because it's state law that the federal government is quoting when they say they're going to shut these folks down. Again, even though our own Department of Public Safety, none of our other departments are doing anything to enforce this statute against these people at this time. So that's why it's here. I'm more than willing to answer any questions you all may have.
Any questions? Senator White, Senator Olson?
Yes, Senator Lee.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't mind going first. Mr. Chairman, I did a little research on this too, and I don't believe, and I don't think that the sponsor intended to say that there were any cabins that were burnt down or destroyed, because as I understand, that has not been the case. I did check, and there has been no cabins destroyed or moved. And the individual that has purported to having 225 miles of trap line, the local people in the area stated that this individual, in fact, doesn't have the 225 miles of trap line, but instead has trapped in, gone off the road in two areas, but is a pilot car driver and drives that. This is a letter that the 225 miles of line is not traveled by snow machine, but the road from the pickup when pilot car driving. So it does not have a 225 mile trap line.
And nobody has a 225 mile trap line there?
The individual that is being referred to, I said, that was reported to have a 225 mile trap line. In fact, by trappers, have said that that's not the case, that this is a pilot car driver that is purporting that. But nevertheless, Mr. Chairman, I've contacted Alyeska for the, our concern is safety for the pipeline. I mean, that was the reason that the 5 mile corridor existed. And we have not, for some reason, heard from Alyeska as to whether what their indication are it is if this bill should go through. And I was out of the loop, and perhaps the sponsor can just explain that the previous bill that I believe was put in a committee by to Senator Olson hasn't been worked on yet, and so I don't understand what the intent, instead of amending that piece of legislation, why we have a new bill.
But Senator Teekin, can you answer that?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I can. I can answer. I think there were at least three questions there. One was a statement, which I have no information that would refute the fact that the Bureau of Land Management has told people who are trappers that they have to remove, that they can no longer access outside of that 5 mile corridor, and that they're going to have to remove the cabins that they are using now that are outside of that 5 mile corridor if the solicitor in Washington, D.C. determines that state law shall prevail to stop them from, to cause the BLM to stop them from allowing to access through the corridor. So I'm not going to get into an argument about he said, she said about all of that. I've seen an official letter to a trapper that says you cannot access if this decision comes down, and you will be forced to remove the cabins that are out there. Now, if those are being accessed with anything other than a snow machine, that would absolutely not fit into the restriction that I'm proposing here. I'm still working with Senator Olson on another bill that we're working on, this bill, to eliminate any confusion about the intent of what is trying to be done. It has been introduced for this specific purpose. That's it. If it were to be morphed, or if it were to be added to under any extent, I would withdraw it. I want to make clear to everyone that this is a specific purpose for people who have been legally operating their trap lines, but illegally accessing it according to state law, to be able to do so. That's as simple as what I'm trying to do. That, I think, is the second question. Third question is, I remain working with Senator Olson and his staff to make sure that if we can reach the same kind of an agreement with the bill there on how to protect these people, that we will do so, and this bill will just die. This is just simply to make sure that people understand our intent, which many times, as you know, and the members of the committee know, people can't always figure out our intent.
Just on what you just said, Senator Seacon, I was trying to relate snow machines going from one side legally through to the other side, and then from the road just to one side. But you said that if you and Senator Olson work out the bill, you say this would disappear?
Disappear.
In other words, this will be put into the other bill? Or this is taken care of already in the other bill?
Chairman, we're working on similar language that would do just exactly this down the line. If we can come to agreement, Senator Olson has a different constituency than I do. They need to feel comfortable. That bill was an expanded bill in the past. I've agreed to restrict it down to here. This is just meant to give a whole lot of comfort to a lot of other people.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'm what was along the same lines of the same question that the co-chairman had. Was there supposed to be a sunset with this?
I don't know if there was or not. Senator Olson, through the chair, I don't know if we had a sunset on the other one or not. I don't think we did. We just said these people that are doing this now shall be allowed to be able to continue, just like those people who are mining now have the right to access, and the oil and gas industry has the right to go out and explore or maintain or do all their things. So it isn't as if no access is done. There is access that's available, and we're just trying to perpetuate the legal use now. At this point, Mr. Chairman, this is intended to only protect those people who are already engaged, not to allow any increase in trappers or proliferation of trappers that would be there. We intend in the next session to be able to address other access provisions up there, but we need some time to study it.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you tell me how many trappers are involved with this?
Mr. Senator Olson, through the chair, it's my understanding, and I've been trying to contact the members of the Trappers Association, that there are less than 10.
And if, assuming they're the trapping season, what is the trapping season up there? Obviously, they're not going to be trapping in August, and they're probably not going to be trapping in April. What do you anticipate the season of trough trapping normally is, or how many months out of the year do you expect this to be an issue?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, only when there's sufficient snow cover to be able to get out there. And I think the trapping seasons are from kind of toward the coldest few months of the year. I know most of them are shut down right now.
You're talking about November through March?
Probably
or so.
November through March, somewhere in there. I'm not exactly sure. But.
So people aren't trapping out there with four-wheelers or anything like that, are they?
No, Mr. Senator Olson, not to my knowledge. And this is strictly for snow machines.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Lincoln.
Mr. Chairman, I missed something in this bill here. Because as I read it, it says that this is the use of snow machine to travel across the highway corridor from land outside the corridor to access land outside the other side, or the use of a snow machine to travel from within or into the corridor for the purpose of establishing, maintaining, or servicing a trap line located outside of the corridor. A trapping license, I believe, is $15. This does not talk about existing trap lines. It just says that you can use it if you service a trap line. With a $15 license, I can grab a couple traps, throw it on my snow machine, and say I'm going trapping. This does not prohibit the use of that corridor to the 10 people. It opens it to anybody who throws a couple traps on their snow machine. And that has me greatly concerned. And Mr. Chairman, I just want to remind sponsor that while the concerns, and I appreciate the concerns that is in one part of the corridor, but that corridor involves a number of villages below as well. So from that bridge on, that there are communities that are affected by this, and those communities have written letters and testified to such. So I just would ask the sponsor to look at this because it just opens it up to anybody who as I said, just throws a couple traps on the back of their snow machine and $15 and away you go.
Just as a comment, and then I have a boat. My wife likes to fish, and she buys a lot of fishing gear, and we go out and we don't ever catch a fish. I think that, so anyway.
It's true.
You know, so Senator Stinkins, please.
Chairman, the senator is correct. It's $15 for a resident trapping license. I, however, buy mine as part of my regular hunting, fishing, and trapping license. But the second thing is, Mr. Chairman, again, the intent here, you see, to many respects, Mr. Chairman, some of the issues that are brought up, safety is bogus. People drive up and down that road all day long. A terrorist isn't going to drive up there with their snow machine on the back of their truck and then take the snow machine off the back of their truck and drive 15 yards off the road to get to the pipeline to destroy it. And people from outside the corridor, as Senator Wagner indicated, can drive from that side if they're already out there and come all the way over to this side without any problem at all. And they aren't a safety risk, evidently. So, you know, it appears to me that a lot of that is kind of bogus. Now, I've said on the record once, and I'll say it again, and that the intent here is to protect those people who already have trap lines out there. Now, how we would do that, I don't care, but they need to be established every year. So the word establishing is meant to allow those people who already do operate a trap line, and I don't care if it says as long as they can present evidence that they've operated their trap line in the last 24 months or whatever along that line, but I'm just, what has to happen is for the short term, until we get this issue settled, where we either as a state decide we're going to enforce this regulation or we're not, we're saying, because we choose not to at this point because we're addressing it other ways, we don't want the federal government to enforce our law against our residents. Now, I just can't imagine that people are going to go up there and throw traps on the back and do that, but I'm sure we can we can address that.
Senator Terrio.
Senator Stinkins, so how is it tied to an established trap line?
A trap line could be established now through the chair, Senator Terrio, but they have to reestablish it in the next trapping season, even if it's there. So the word established is a little confusing. In one sense, we're talking about established trappers that have been trapping there for a period of time. The other thing is, that trap line expires, it's got to be reestablished the next year.
The other questions we have, Matt Robus, he's here from Fish and Game to answer questions only. If there's any questions, I don't think they... Is there any more questions of Senator Stinkins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, appreciate the opportunity to appear before you today.
Mr. Chairman, I do have a question for Mr. Robus.
Yes?
Afternoon,
identify yourself, who you represent. And
my name is Matt Robus. I'm the Director of Wildlife Conservation for the Department of Fish and Game.
Just a quick question about the establishment of a trap line. How does somebody go about establishing, quote-unquote, a trap line, maintaining it? Just give us some information on that.
Through the chair, Senator Terrio, in this state, a trapper obtains a trapping license, and that's the authority to go trapping. Other than tradition and territoriality between trappers, we do not have any sort of registered trap line system. So establishment of a trap line is, I guess, the physical act of cutting your trail and laying out your trap sets and so forth, but there's no legal precedence or anything like that that you get in this state as you do in other jurisdictions where you actually have some sort of a legal right to that line through a permit or a lease or something like that. So it's purely the physical act. It's not a legal situation in this state.
So I homesteaded in 52 when we was a territory and did a little bit of trapping up around that. So I could go back. I don't have any grandfather rights. I could start at the same location today and do the same thing again, I assume.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. And if another trapper had established and traditionally run a trap line in the time since then, it would be basically you negotiating with that trapper, trying to come to some sort of hopefully friendly agreement on who was going to go where. You don't have any right to be grandfathered in, nor does the other trapper have a right to exclude you.
Who's got the biggest?
No. Mr. Chairman, we don't want you doing that until you get your new knee.
Senator Lincoln.
To help this along a little bit, because this is from the individual who spoke about this 225 miles, his brother-in-law had a trap line, and as he said, that the trap line and trapping on an established line is a taboo, as in leaving no wood at a remote cabin. So the individual went to BLM for some reason, and BLM told him to go find his own area, and then he went up to another area all of 10 miles, and so there isn't, it's sort of a gentleman's agreement that they know where their trapping is, and that's the concern, and if I might, that's the concern that I've got, that somebody throws a trap on their snow machine and has their little permit. I mean, they can go in there, and if they're stopped and under this legislation as it exists now, that they could, and I understand that the sponsor of the bill, that was not the intent, but that's the way it reads now, that they could just put a trap on the back and say, I'm going in trapping, and if they're stopped, they have a trap on their snow machine. Isn't that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Lincoln, if I get your question, yes, I think that there is, the way that the bill is written, there's opportunity for an additional trapper to go in there. I will say basically what my testimony was on the first haul road bill, 298, SB 298, I believe, that to the extent that there is a rise in the number of people going through the corridor on snow machines as a result of the language in this bill, the Department of Fish and Game and the Board of Game have tools with which to manage to make sure that the impacts are controlled to the populations of animals that exist outside the corridor. So it might potentially put us into a different management regime, but we do have the ability to, as we do all over the state, to deal with management issues with emergency orders and board regulations for different bag limits and seasons and so forth.
I might follow up on that. But how would you manage that if somebody says, I'm going trapping? How would you possibly be able to manage that? And you can't stop them for you can't cite them for anything that they're doing wrong.
Through the chair, Senator Lincoln, that's correct. And we're not primarily the enforcement agency anyway. So I was talking about management in the sense of if you had an increase in hunting pressure on caribou or moose or something because you had more people going through the corridor using the language in this bill, then we could adjust bag limits or seasons or put emergency closures out there to protect the resource. I wasn't even thinking about the enforcement issue. I think you're right. Basically, if somebody says that they're on their way to establish a trap line or run their trap line,
and they're just snow machining,
and they have a snow machine, you basically have to take them at their word or investigate as to whether they really did have a trap line in front of them somewhere. So I was, again, just talking about the wildlife management in the lands outside the corridor. We do have the regulatory apparatus to deal with any changes to demand.
Well, the same token, when a person goes to the Fred Meyer and buys a license, he can buy the license to go trapping and go up to go hunting, and if there's any tags, there's no laws. I mean, it's a pretty free thing. I mean, if you have the money for the price of a trapping license, hunting license, there's no tests or anything like that you have to go through to do that.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
And I, just a side note, when I was young, I trapped up in the Lake Louise area, and I trapped and got a wolverine. And I thought that was quite an accomplishment. He was one smart guy. And I tried for a long time. And then anyway, my great-grandson, I was talking to, I told him about trapping. He says, what's trapping? He didn't understand what trapping was. This is today's youth. And so I told his dad, take him trapping. Because it's a matter of intelligence to catch some of these animals. Anyway, I don't know what that had to do with anything, but anyway. Mr. Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You remind me, are you on the management or enforcement side, or which side of Fish and Game are you on?
Through the chair, Senator, I'm on the wildlife management side within Fish and Game.
Okay.
The enforcement is within the state troopers.
Okay. And what kind of animals are being trapped up there, or what kind of animals would be most likely in question during this time that this bill would be affecting?
Well, Senator, the haul road out is obviously a long transect across many different habitats in Alaska. I think everything from wolves to marten to
wolverine,
fox, lynx, a wide variety of fur bears and fur animals.
And does the department have a position on this bill?
Through the chair. No, I don't think so. I came here to answer questions, but basically, as I said before, my testimony on the first bill, which is a different way of approaching the same issue, was basically to say that if impacts occurred because of increased access, we had the tools to manage it.
So, if I can interpret your testimony correctly, the department does not have a position on the bill.
Senator, I guess that's the right statement, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I just have a question then. If anybody who wishes to buy a trapper's license and buy traps can go in there and trap any given area, is what you're saying is there's basically no regulation by the department as number one, where they trap, how many furs they produce, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, per year. Is that a correct statement?
Through the chair, Senator, that's basically correct, but let me put some sideboards on that. If it got to a point where there were indications that fur bear populations were suffering from overpressure, we would shorten seasons or make the bag limits smaller or even close areas. The Board of Game does have a few trapping closures where it's not appropriate for one reason or another for trappers to go there. Other than that, statewide, trapping is basically self-regulating to a large extent. Trappers have to sort out amongst themselves where they're going to operate in order to make it worthwhile for anybody to go trapping and in order to allow the resource to not be harvested to such a degree that it can't recover for the following year. This is, you know, almost like a farming situation where you need to leave your brood stock in the woods to make sure that you've got fur bears to trap there the next year. So throughout the state, trappers are sorting each other out.
Basically, what you're saying is the animals are a lot smarter than the trappers.
I found that out.
Okay, thanks. That's a good enough answer. Thank you.
Senator Olson.
Is there another way to ensure that these, can we make it so that there's a way for these trapping cabins not to be either torn down or burned down besides having a bill like this to ensure that these, you know, sanctuaries of safety in the time of storm are out there and available to people that are there besides being used by the people that put them up and have got some kind of financial investment in them and can trap them? Is there an alternative way that you can envision to ensure that?
Through the chair, Senator, I'm not real well equipped to answer that since the state law does not have a penalty clause and has never been enforced. The state law is really not the proximate problem here. And I don't know really very much about the BLM regulations or the thought process behind BLM's recent actions here. And I need to express a little bit of ignorance about what's going on over on the federal side.
The state law may not be, as you said, in question, but what we're stating is by the sponsor is that state law is what the feds are looking at to try and justify keeping them in there.
Through the chair, I understand that. I've heard the same statement in several hearings now, and I gather that the language of the state statute is allowing the BLM to make enforcement noises, but I don't know anything about that personally.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions?
Matt, the gentleman that's in my district of the corridor, or of the Hall Road, said that there's two real established trappers in this large area, and said, quote, I was not opposed to access permits to areas that do not conflict with established trap lines for these two real trappers. And that's the concern that people have, is that, you know, again, I have to stress that the real trappers, and, you know, as was noted, anybody can go down and buy a trap and buy a license for $15 and are not really going out there trapping, but can easily say, I'm going to establish a trap line or establish a trap. It doesn't say anywhere that you have to have 10 traps or a dozen traps or one trap. Why is it that, though, in your estimation, why was that 5-mile corridor established for the pipeline road?
Through the chair, Senator Lincoln, this occurred well before I ever got close to headquarters and paid attention to such things, so this is a bit of speculation. I believe it was protection, meant to protect the pipeline itself, and there may have been some intent to protect wildlife populations along the Hall Road, although I'm less sure of that. It seems to me I've heard that legislative intent, but I'd have to go look to find it.
Additional questions?
Mr. Chairman, if I might, and it's not of Matt, but I was trying to work around this for a proposed amendment, and I guess it's to the sponsor that who has acknowledged that this is meant to be for those who are the real trappers in the area. I wondered if he could you come up here,
Senator Seekins.
Is it your intent, Senator Seekins, to amend this? I've got some language, but to amend it. But I wondered if you might have some language, because you wanted this to be for those that were already established trappers.
The intent, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Seekins.
The intent, Senator Lincoln, is that we not do anything to disrupt those people who are currently trapping in that area by act of federal law. So however you define that, as long as, I mean, I like to amend bills too. So go ahead and propose the amendment and I can tell you what it might be.
Senator Lincoln?
I'm not sure, but the wording isn't right on this, and I don't know exactly how it would, where it would go in here, but conceptually, that a trapper must have received a BLM permit for snowmobile access in the past 24 months to access there, or this trap line.
Senator Wagner through the chair, I'd just soon leave BLM out. I mean, Senator Lincoln through the chair, sorry, it's getting late in the day. I'd like to leave BLM out. If someone can show that they've trapped there, they should be able to access it. To the best of my knowledge, that's less than 10 people. based on talking with people in the Trappers Association. We'll address more later. I'm sure we'll try to look at this from different perspectives. But, you know, at this point, I know that several people, I don't know how many, I'd have to get the mailing list from the BLM to find out how many people they sent letters out to. I just want to protect those people who are actually trapping there now, because they're not causing any huge disruption. There's a very small number of them. And as I said, the only people who are enforcing the restriction is BLM, to get past this time frame so we can look at down the road how we would prefer to regulate those people for those activities at a future time. But to get past this restriction at this time for just that small number of people. Now, if that conceptually were to say those people who can show that they have trapped there, you know, in the last 24 months, something like that, that adequately meets my intent. But we've had trouble struggling with this with the drafters as well, to make sure that we're taking care of those folks who have been doing this from this federal threat, without opening it up to somebody who says, I got two traps in the back of my snow machine and I'm going out there. That's not our intent. And I think you know
that. Let me ask Senator Seekins a question then. Then would I be correct in assuming that those people we're dealing with are those people who have currently either constructed or taken over a cabin and maintain a cabin?
Well, some of them probably, Mr. Chairman.
Not all of them.
Not all of them, but I do know that some of them do have those cabins, and so those are the people that the federal people know exist there. I'm not sure of the permit process that they have to be able to go out. I just know that they've said that we're going to begin citing people under your state law and not authorizing you to go use these cabins anymore, because your state law precludes you from doing that. And yeah, so from accessing it. So all I'm trying to, if we can show that these people have trapped there in the past 24 months and have had established trap lines there in the past, I just want to give them the opportunity to continue that without federal interference.
Senator Lincoln.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Seekins, as you would say to me, I'm trying to help you here now, so work with me. If we, and I don't know if BLM permit, I'm not sure that that's where that permitting process comes from, wherever it comes from, but if the conceptual language could be that a trapper, as the intention was, that a trapper there must have been a permit of some sort, must have received a permit for snowmobile access in the past, because I think that's what they have to have now, must have a snowmobile permit in the past 24 months to access this trap line, or their trap line.
Let me suggest something for you, if I can, Mr. Chairman.
Right there.
Senator Seekins, which one you want?
I know which of the two co-chairmen I should acknowledge here. And a trapper who has taken fur, if I understand this correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Robles, needs to report to the state where he's trapped, where he's taken this animal. And in some cases, it needs to be sealed. Am I correct, Mr. Robles?
That's correct.
If that trapper can show a document where they had taken fur by showing their sealing forms, so you could hold this then to these established trappers that are there now, that solves my problem. So I think if someone can show that they, through their State of Alaska, Department of Fish and Game, trapping forms or whatever documentation they have, that they have been trapping there, then this law would exempt them from that restriction. If we can do that, I'm happy.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Lincoln?
I think that the conceptual language, and I'd like to, it's too bad that we don't have the amendment in hand, but that's my concern too, that if they can show that within the last
24 months
that they have taken fur that they will have the access, continued access to their trap line. But Mr. Robes, with that, I want to prevent somebody, and trapping season is over now, so there's no worry about this, somebody going up there now. But there's, I just want to ensure that there's no way that somebody can say to get around this conceptual language.
I don't think he can do that. I think that's up to us to do that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, but Mr. Robes said that this would work, that there's a way that they can show that they have indeed trapped in the area. And if you're saying that there is a way to do that, then I want assurance that there's no way that they can get around this and say, oh yeah, I used 325 miles, when in fact it's somebody who ran off the side of the road one time.
Through the chair, Senator Lincoln, on the state sealing forms, the trapper has to report the locality from which that fur was taken. Now, of course, there's a little fuzziness there because nobody wants to tell exactly. Favorite spot is in any type of hunting, fishing, or trapping, but it's a requirement that they truthfully tell us where they took the fur, and those records are stored at Fish and Game so that they'd be available to enforcement in the future and so forth. However, as with any Fish and Game law and with a lot of other things in law, if somebody absolutely doesn't tell the truth when they put stuff down on the sealing form, you know, but beyond that, they are required to tell us where they took the fur, and that would document within a fairly small area where the take actually occurred.
I would move that conceptual amendment, Mr. Chair.
Is that a friendly amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that Senator Lincoln and I are now on the same page. We're just saying that if they can show that they through their sealing forms, that they actually trapped within that vicinity and accessed it from the haul road, that they're exempt from this restriction. And I if that's where we're going, I have no problem with that. It's a friendly amendment.
Is that your, you agree with how
Senator Lake
did it? I moved it.
Okay, she moved it, yeah. Okay, any objection to the amendment? No objection to the amendment. Okay. We now have, are you running this or me? Go ahead.
You run.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Mr. Chairman. We now have a committee substitute for Senate Bill. No, that's not it. Where's Senator Lincoln?
Mr. Chairman, if I might, to the sponsor, you were speaking earlier about working with Senator Olson and that this bill may just go away because it could be incorporated into the other piece of legislation, which we can't refer to. If that still is your intent, then should this have a sunset clause in here if it's going to be incorporated into what you're working with Senator Olson on?
Through the chair, Senator Lincoln, I will tell you on the record that if Senator Olson and I work out this other committee substitute to fit this conceptual language, I'll just not pursue this bill any longer, not request any further hearings on it, and just let it go.
Mr. Chairman, but what Senator I'm thinking Lincoln. Is that this one might move along and the other one might not, and that, you know, if we're working with it later, that there's a way that you can fold us in or acknowledge that.
Okay, finance. Yeah, this bill will go to finance. Senator Olson is in finance. The other one is in finance. I think we can probably work out any differences, or if not, we'll go from there.
Let's see.
Come on.
And if you'll excuse Terrio is next door. Okay.
Excuse me, I have to go to finance.
I think you got enough votes.
Do we take a brief at ease?
No.
Are you going to vote to move this?
Can we move it one second?
We're not going to.
Oh, are we?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Cowder?
I move Senate Bill 391 with the conceptual amendment that was just stated.
I'll object.
To the next committee of referral.
Please call the roll.
Senator Lincoln?
Pass.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Terrio?
Yes.
Co-Chair Cowdery?
Yes.
Co-Chair Wagner?
Yes.
Senator Lincoln?
No.
Three yeas, two nays.
So, that concludes our hearing today, and with that, we're adjourned.
Thank you, Pat.